God, we pray once again that you would open the eyes of our faith, that we might see you working in your redeeming work. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you're interested in revelation. Maybe you've had a revelation just this morning. You've seen something in a way that you haven't seen it, or your vision has been corrected, or a new thought has dawned on you that maybe you're just mulling over. You're still trying to get some traction on it. Revelation. What's the nature of it? I believe that the readings are beautifully interspersed, sort of littered with revelation. Think of the last reading we just heard from the gospel. It's an unusual story, isn't it? Not just that Peter was naked in the boat. These were fishermen. They did what they had to do to get the job done, and it was all night. They fished at night, and they caught nothing. And I think part of revelation and the way that the scriptures are structured is that there's fruit comes with revelation. There's a lot of work, and yet the results often are very meager before revelation comes and God reveals God's purposes for us. And so they were told to put the net on the other side of the boat. Now, these are professional fishermen, and there's some guy from shore. It's kind of the equivalent of backseat driving, right? From shore fishing. And then this image of a full net. I believe that's really the message. And the whole interaction with Peter, who had denied Jesus three times, that was the last interaction he had with Peter. And yet here he reinstates him by asking him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And so this revelation, I think, is born in love. It's born out of love. And it's to lead us into love and a life that is beyond ourselves. I think revelation delivers us from ourselves, that our horizon is simply us. I think revelation interrupts that, just like children's view is interrupted as they grow to realize that they have brother and sister, that there are other people in the world, not just them. I believe that's one of the functions of revelation. We have a book in the Bible, and it's the Revelation. And the full title is The Revelation of Jesus Christ According to John. And so John is a regular person, and he was given revelation as an old man. He was the elder John. He was on the island of Patmos. He was in an extreme circumstance, and God gave him a revelation, and it comes at the end of our canon of scripture, and it elicits praise. That's what it's meant to do. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and everywhere we see people praising God. And in this case, myriads of, and myriads, angels beyond count. Can you imagine all the creatures? This is a revelation now that John's having. So it's a sort of an out-of-body experience, and revelation can take that form. He hears every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and then he kind of underlines it, and all that is in them singing. What a beautiful revelation. Can you imagine what that was like? I mean, it would cause you to look up from your phone, wouldn't it? A revelation like that. All creation singing. Singing. And so revelation is both audible, it's sensory, it's visual. God chooses in different times, at different places, to communicate to individuals in different ways. Would you agree? Is revelation an active still? There's revelation. I believe there is. And revelation is not just, oh, now I understand. Well, it could be that, but it's that clearly in Scripture, revelation comes from outside of us. Sometimes people are waiting and praying and fasting. Other times it just comes. It's an interruption, like the balloon popping. It's kind of like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And then there's sometimes a scramble to receive that revelation. And sometimes God and God's mercy repeats the revelation. So revelation. How do we as individuals come to a new understanding of life and love? That the horizon is not us, but it's beyond us. It's the God who created us. And there's a reason to give thanks and praise. I have so much reason to give thanks and praise, and perhaps you do too. Just think for a moment. But Revelation pushes us even further and opens us up to the love of God and the beauty and truth of God all throughout creation. The love of God made known to us in Jesus, who is called brother and friend, is called Lord, is called King. He ushers in this reign of God, and yet Jesus comes to us and causes us to perceive things that without him we could not perceive. That's my understanding. Revelation is to be read and listened to and just sort of reveled in, and to think of all creation singing. Are you conscious that the birds are singing a little bit more loudly this time of year? We have a white-crowned sparrow. I'm sure that easily 50% of this sparrow's intake, right, the energy from it, is through singing. He's marking his territory, right? Sometimes I just feel like, oh, give me a break. But it's beautiful. All creation is singing. How does God work in our lives? And how does God work? I'm very interested how God works with, say, a group of people like a church committee to determine the direction of a church with, of course, the wider body. We all work together. And when do we need an intervention that, no, we're not going in the right way? God brings correction. God brings a change of perspective. I think there's no greater story. There are others, but there's no greater story than the first reading, these 20 verses from the book of Acts. This total reorientation of Saul. Talk about change of perspective. It was more than that, and sometimes that's what we need. And Saul, for those of you who aren't familiar with him, was sort of the A-team Jew. He was sort of the top of his class in the ruling body and came from a great pedigree, and with regard to legalistic righteousness, got an A+. Sometimes those people are annoying, right? They just excel in everything. If it was gym class and you're in grade 4 and you're dividing up for dodgeball, if he was an athlete, he would have been picked first, right? He's one of those guys or one of those girls that excels. And yet, with regard to God's purposes, had missed the boat, was going, breathing out murderous threats. I love that right away. It's like a dragon. It's exactly how it was. To go and arrest those of the way, he traveled 6 days from Jerusalem to Damascus, some 150 miles, and was willing to do the return trip with Christians, bound. He had just been witness to the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He was present when Stephen was martyred on because of his faith. And Stephen's prayer was one of forgiveness. And some of the commentators wonder if this prayer of Stephen just continued to resonate in Saul, the one who approved of this stoning. And stoning was a brutal way to die, but one of the way. He was going along. We heard it. There was a bright light. It was an incredible intervention, revelation, both visual, so much so that he was blinded, whether that was from the light or just God's way of getting his attention. He fell to the ground and heard a voice. And the voice, of course, is saying, not, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my people? Which would have made sense. But he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I believe that revelation is profoundly personal. And sometimes revelation is so personal that we really shouldn't share it. We should just really keep that in our hearts and consider what God is saying. Perhaps share it with a trusted other, but but it's so intimate and personal that we should just keep it in our hearts. In this case, it's a little different because others were overhearing. Whether they heard the words or not, we're not sure. Why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's like, Saul, if you didn't get it the first time, this is a very important part of this revelation. You are persecuting me. I am God. You are misdirected. But, I love that but get up and enter the city. And so God in Revelation often gives us a very bite-sized direction. We have something to go on to pursue this. And so Saul got up. The people traveling with him were speechless and didn't know exactly what was happening. They heard the voice but saw no one. So he got up from the ground, and Luke says, who wrote Acts, though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And it's like this reflects his spiritual condition. His eyes were open, but he really could not perceive anything. And how many of us are doing our best to move forward in life, but are not perceiving the real picture, the whole picture, God's intent for us? Again, because the horizon is set on us. God wants, I believe, to enlarge our horizon, to heal our vision, to show us how we can be most fully alive, most fully human, and to engage in God's purposes, which bring, I believe, the greatest satisfaction possible. Saul needed to get out of the driver's seat, and boy, did he ever. He was led by the hand into Damascus because he could not see. The leader is being led as part of his discipleship, his conversion. For 3 days, he neither ate nor drank. And was this a sign of awe and wonder? I think it probably was. And discernment, like, what on earth has happened to me? Will I ever see again? Can you imagine how traumatic that would be? Has anything ever happened to you that caused you to think, am I ever going to recover? Will I always be this way? Saul, in his thoughts, in his mind, what are you, had he heard, really, this voice, this incredible encounter? Why do you persecute me? He had heard Jesus. He says later that he met Jesus. He was an apostle, he says, unnaturally born. The others saw him face to face. Saul saw him in a vision, but spoke to him directly. Jesus was present to Saul, just as Jesus can be present to us. God's at work in the lives of boys and girls, women and men, to this day, and can communicate to us in any way that God chooses. There was a woman in an Alpha class. Alpha course is an 11-week course on the Christian basics. I would commend it to anyone. She stayed through the 11 weeks. She went on the Holy Spirit weekend, and afterwards we did a little round the group. How was this course for you? And she says, it was just great, but I don't believe. I don't believe in Jesus. And so everyone said, you know, okay. And it was a good course. And anyway, she called 2 weeks later. She said she was in an aerobics class, and it all kind of came clear to her. And she received Christ and became a follower and became part of God's people. It can happen anywhere. It can happen anywhere to anyone at any time. The thing in this story that's unique that I find really blows my mind, and I don't often say that, it does, it just is this multi-dimensional communication that God is doing with two individuals, Saul and Ananias. God chooses to use a servant to bring Saul to a new place of understanding, a new place of healing. And he uses an everyday disciple named Ananias, and that gives me hope. You don't have to be a superstar to be used by God. You just have to be available. Even one who asks God a second time, are you sure? I am so heartened by this. But the thing is that God is working beyond space and time to further God's purposes on earth. So he gives Ananias, I think this is so gracious, so gracious. He tells Ananias first that he is using Saul as a chosen instrument. Even though he's an enemy of the gospel, he's an enemy of the way, the followers of Jesus. That didn't stop God. Nothing stops God. That God was using him as a chosen instrument, and that Ananias needed to get on board with God's plan, just like Saul needed to get on board. And he's going to show Saul how much Saul must suffer for the sake of Jesus' name. Ananias received this vision. He was told to go to a specific street called Straight, to a specific house. It's as if he was given the address, the house of Judas, to talk and minister and reach out to a specific man, one called Saul of Tarsus, a specific man who was praying. And that's exciting for me, because when God gives detailed instructions, and then you start to act on those instructions, and you see God's revelation sort of multiply, it's got to be the most exciting thing possible. This God who works beyond space and time, using us who are time-bound and space-bound to fulfill God's purposes. He tells Ananias that at the same time, he's giving Saul a vision, that a man named Ananias was going to come and speak to him. I love that. So God is not bound by anything. Now, this was a bold and dangerous act in Ananias' mind, and so I believe that's part of the reason why God gives such a detailed instruction to Ananias and uses this reality that he is in fact giving Saul a vision that would be fulfilled by Ananias. I mean, it's beyond wonderful. He went and entered the house. Ananias did what he was told. He laid his hands on Saul, and I believe there was a conversion of heart as the Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias. He laid hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and you may be filled with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit, I believe, brings us beyond ourselves to consider a purpose beyond ourselves and calls us to this revelation that we would respond in praise and thanksgiving and gratitude for the rest of our lives. His sight was restored. Something like scales fell from his eyes. He was baptized, which we don't hear explicitly, was really clearly part of the teaching that Ananias brought. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. What he does next, I find very interesting. He entered into discipleship. Here was an expert in the law, but a baby Christian. And so he entered into discipleship. He stayed with the saints in Damascus for 6 days, and then he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. So first discipleship, and then proclamation, fulfilling the very thing that God had chosen him for, this instrument. So again, it's just a beautiful image. And we might say, well, yeah, that would never happen to me. Well, I believe revelation does happen to us, clearly not in this way, but in perhaps equally as dramatic a way, which would be very personal. My hope is that our parish council will know revelation, that we would know it, that we would together be able to discern it and also be corrected if we go the wrong way. Again, whether it's with John, who had this revelation of Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all praise and honor and glory, wisdom and strength, we would simply praise God, which is an apt and appropriate response. If we would be converted and become baby Christians ourselves to walk in this new way, to give glory to God and to learn in discipleship and what it means through our life to live this life, whether it would mean encountering Jesus in a way that would nourish us, like Jesus made breakfast for the disciples. However it happens, may we be open and even anticipating God's revelation to us. We might not hear all creation sing at the same time. We might not. But revelation could alter the course of our life and could radically change our understanding of our purpose here. In the end, he says, follow, come and follow. And the beautiful part is that he walks with us. God, we've prayed in the collect that you would speak to us. We pray that you would open our eyes and speak to our hearts. And I simply ask that for myself and for us all. Thank you for your love. Amen.